My name is Kyle Hart, and I'm the production content director here at Purpose Church. I never really thought about giving growing up. I had always heard about it in the church. I didn't quite see the value of why that was important. At 23, my mom passed away. And I was a part-time employee here at the church at the time, and I didn't just inherit a home, I inherited a mortgage. At that time, I was really pressed on money, didn't know how to deal with it. And as I learned that I was a steward of the relationship that my mom and I had, that she may have been my mom, but first and foremost, she was God's child. It really got me thinking about, what does that mean about my money? I learned that tithing wasn't me giving 10% of my money to God. It was me getting to keep 90% of what He already owns. With my role here at Purpose Church, given all of the external communication that I get to do for the congregation, I don't just get to see the request for giving, but I get the unique perspective of seeing those requests being fulfilled by the congregation. With all of the giving that has gone through Purpose, we have gotten to see global and local impact. We have seen the lights stay on in this building. We've seen Operation Christmas Child. We've seen haircuts for the homeless here in Pomona. We have seen students getting to go to camp for the first time. As someone who believes that generous people truly transform the world, it is such a blessing to watch that Purpose Church is living that out every single day.
Well, thank you so much, Kyle, for sharing your story with us and demonstrating so powerfully how God invites us to trust Him with all of the resources that He's already given us. Well, welcome to Purpose Church, or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I love you. No matter where you're watching this from around the world, or tuning in on your AirPods right now, or maybe you're watching with some family or friends, I am so glad you're joining us, and I love you, and more than anything, God loves you. Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. And while you're flipping there, we are in a series called We Are That Kind of Church. And today we are talking about we are a generous church. Now, you'll hear experts say talking about money and talking about politics can be a very dangerous thing in the church, and some would say you should even avoid them. I thought it'd be really fun today to talk about both. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about politics and a little bit about money. So lean in, hang with me. Let's first talk about the election. I just want to share briefly, this coming Tuesday is Election Day. I want to share three essentials for every Christian during Election Week. Number one, vote. The first century Christians never had the opportunity to vote for their preferred emperor. They lived in a context where the common people didn't have any power over politics, policies, and governance. We are incredibly blessed to live in the United States, where we can vote with God's kingdom and values leading us. Did you know that 90 million Christians are registered to vote? But historically, only about 40 million actually vote. We can do better. Let's do better, and let's make voting a priority. Number two, pray. Ask God how He wants you to vote. Don't just vote the way you've always voted or the way others around you are voting, but ask God to lead your voting. I would encourage you to use the great commandments. Jesus taught us to love God and to love our neighbors as your voting guide. And remember to represent Christ in how you engage in politics, which really leads to number three, remember. No matter what the results are on Election Day, your eternal citizenship belongs to God's kingdom. And Jesus Christ is your eternal king. Don't dethrone Jesus for another king. And don't fear, because God's plans and His kingdom cannot be shaken. I love what Pastor J.D. Greer says. Our vote matters, but our Christian witness matters more. You voting this week matters, but you representing Christ in all areas of your life, including how you engage in politics and including how you vote, that matters most. Well, now let's talk about money. Now, as we begin this conversation, I really want to start with this question. Whose money is this? This is an important question to ask when we're thinking about the money in our wallets, in our bank accounts, in our stock markets, in the equity of our homes. Whose money is this? You see, the most popular question that our culture asks when it comes to money, in fact, this is every single commercial, every single ad that's thrown our way, is essentially trying to answer this question for us. How should I spend my money? That's the question that the world, that our culture asks. But followers of Jesus, people who have been saved by God's grace, people who have awakened to this reality that there is a God who created us, who has a purpose and a plan for our lives and wants to give us eternity through the salvation of his Son, Christians ask a deeper question. And the question is this: whose money is this? You know, several years ago, I was asked by a couple to officiate their wedding. And I remember they told me the date that they were going to get married, and I was looking at my calendar, and I already had some events going on, and I was trying to figure out how I wanted to do this wedding, but I had some events that I would have to cancel. And then all of a sudden, in the phone call, they told me that they were having a destination wedding in Mexico at an all-inclusive resort, and that they were going to pay for my way to go there. And all of a sudden, I looked at my calendar, and I said, I'm free. I don't have any plans. I will be there. And I remember once Sarah and I got out to the wedding venue. When we got to the resort and we checked in, the father of the bride handed us an envelope. And inside of that envelope was a letter, and it basically said, hey, thank you so much for coming to the wedding. I've included in here about $100 in cash. And he said, but I want you to know this $100 is from me to you, and it's meant to be spent on blessing the staff of this resort. And I got to tell you, all week, I mean, we had so much fun, Sarah and I. I felt like I was the Christian Oprah Winfrey. I mean, I was just giving out tips, giving out money to everyone. There was no anxiety. There was no stress. Why? Because this money didn't belong to me. This money was given to me. It was entrusted in me that I might steward it well, according to the wishes of the father of the bride. You see, I tell you that story because I think that really frames how God wants us to think about the resources that we have available to us. You see, money is a big deal to God. Did you know that over 2,000 Bible verses in the Bible address money and possessions? That 16 of the 38 parables Jesus told directly deal with money. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? See, generosity, biblically, is evidence of knowing God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And if there was one message that our culture tries to push on us over and over again, it's that true life happens when we own certain things, when we possess certain things. But Jesus, the author of life, the creator of life, the only one perfectly qualified to tell us what life is ultimately about, says, friends, it's not about greed and it's not about having more. Now, our anchor text today is going to be 1 Timothy chapter 6. And as we're going to see, Paul is teaching Timothy, this young ministry leader, and he's directly going to address money. And he's first going to talk about the downsides to believing it's my money. Remember that question, whose money is this? Well, there's at least two downsides to believing it's my money. And the first is arrogance. Look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Why is this such a big deal? Well, the word arrogant literally means to think exalted thoughts about yourself. the danger of seeing the resources that you have at your disposal as being my money is you might begin to become arrogant. You might begin to think that because you have a little bit more money or a little bit more resources than somebody else, that all of a sudden you are better than that person, and your thoughts might get a little bit too exalted. Well, the second downside to believing it's my money is anxiety. Paul continues. Look at what he says. Nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. I mean, Paul's just being Captain Obvious here and reminding us that the truth is the stock market is unpredictable. Our jobs can even be unpredictable. Promotions and demotions happen, and those are unpredictable. In fact, all of the things that we oftentimes put our hope in around our finances can fail us. And so if you choose to put your hope in wealth, if you choose to put your hope in your finances, if you think it's all my money, you are going to live a life full of anxiety. But then Paul says there's actually some upsides to believing it's his money. Thinking it's my money only comes with downsides, but believing it's his money comes with some massive upsides. The first one is this: freedom. Look at what Paul says. But to put their hope in God. Paul says, don't put your hope in your resources, in the things that you have right now at your disposal. Put your hope in God. Paul's preparing us to think about the opportunity to make eternal investments with the eternal in mind. He says, put your hope in God, because when you put your hope in God, you will live a free life. It's almost like God is our expert financial advisor. Maybe you have a financial advisor, somebody who gives you wisdom and thoughts on how to spend the resources that you steward, that you have in your bank account or in your stock market. You see, the Bible is like God's message to us as our expert financial advisor. In fact, the Bible is full of wisdom and teaching on how God wants us to think about the resources he's given us, how he wants us to use the resources that he's given us. But number two, and maybe this will be a surprising one for you, a surprising upside, is when we think about money as it's God's money, we actually will experience more enjoyment. Look at what Paul said next in verse 17. Talking about God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God is not some eternal cosmic killjoy. He's not looking to ruin your life. In fact, God wants you to have such a right thinking about the resources that he's given you. He wants you to live in such a way with the resources, the money that he's given you, that you might also enjoy it. God wants to bless your life and give you enjoyment from the resources he's given you when you use them and think about them and apply them his way. Which really leads to God's solution to our money problems. And I think everybody watching today, everybody listening today has some money problems, whether it's wrong thinking, maybe it's messed up thinking about money, maybe it's how you apply money, maybe you're in debt right now. I mean, all of us have some sort of money problems. Well, here's God's solution to our money problems. The first one is this: budget and save. Budget and save. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. And then if you go to verse 20 of that same chapter, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. The Bible, in fact, affirms and encourages and supports and equips us to budget, to really think about the resources that we have and the expenses in our lives. The Bible also encourages us to save. In fact, that's a really important biblical principle, that if you don't have a budget for your life right now, where you're tracking what resources, what income is coming in and what your expenses are, you need to do that so that you can better manage God's resources. And if you don't have a plan to save, even if it's a little, you're missing out on one of the gifts of God's instruction in how we think about money. In fact, it's one of God's solutions for us. But the second solution to our money problems is be generous. Let's go back to our text, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. You see, God is clear. His desire is that we would use our time, our talents, and our treasures, that we would use our income and our resources to be generous. And maybe some of you at this point are going, okay, is this just another example of the church wanting my money? No, God actually wants something more for you. God wants you to be filled with joy. And the counterculture, the subversive reality and truth of living in God's kingdom is that when you live with more generosity, you'll live with greater joy. I mean, look at what Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, it's interesting because it only took about 2,700 years to prove scientifically what was written biblically in Proverbs and all throughout the Bible. In fact, in 2017, there was a study done in Switzerland where a group of people were given money, and half of them were told to spend it on themselves, and the other half were told to be generous with it. The group that was asked to be generous was also given the opportunity to give more of their own money to meet the needs of the people they were giving the money to. At the end of the study, the participants who were told to give the money away and who also gave some of their own personal money away, they reported feeling happier about those decisions than the group reported that spent the money on themselves. Now, here's where it gets real neurological and crazy. In the brains of the people who were generous, the researchers noticed heightened levels of ventral striatum activity, which is a part of the brain that's connected to happiness. You see, here's a strategy from God to us to think about money and to use money and to steward money God's way. And it's three numbers, 10, 10, 80. That this is God's strategy for how he wants us to use the resources he has given us, 10, 10, 80. And it's this, tithe 10%. Save 10% and live God's way on the remaining 80%. Now, I mentioned a word there, tithe. And maybe you've heard that word before. Maybe you're somewhat familiar with it. Maybe it's new for you. Maybe there's a reason you don't tithe, or honestly, no one's ever talked to you about it. And so I want to help address that and answer some of those questions. I want to try to answer the question, what is tithing? What is tithing? Well, the word tithe is actually the Hebrew word tenth. The word tithe literally means tenth in Hebrew. And it was something that God commanded his people to do. Now, you'll see other language in, especially the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, of people bringing their offerings. An offering was a above and beyond your tithe, the commanded amount to give back to God. The offering was your over and above act of generosity. But God teaches about tithing, and it shows up all over the place in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Let me give you some examples of that. Number one, Jacob practiced it. In Genesis chapter 28, it says, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth," a tithe. Well, number two, the law commanded it. In Leviticus chapter 27, it says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. Now, this is really, really important. The Bible teaches that our tithe is not us giving God something we want to give him necessarily. It's actually bringing back to God that which is his. Kyle talked about this in his video, living on the 90% of what God has given us, trusting him back with the 10. It's commanded and it's holy to the Lord. Number three, God required it. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, "I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Here's the hard truth, my friends. If you are a follower of Jesus and you are not tithing, the scriptures say, God's holy, perfect, authoritative word says that we are robbing him, that he takes it very seriously. Why? Well, partially because he wants to demonstrate his blessing in our lives. Here's the good news. He wants to show us how when we will trust him with our financial resources, which can be a very scary thing to do, that when we will choose to tithe and trust him with our resources, he'll provide for us. He'll take care of us. And I have seen him do this over and over and over again in my life. But maybe up to this point you're going, okay, Eric, but I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, and all the verses you've quoted have been in the Old Testament. So do those still apply to us? Well, number four is Jesus affirmed it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, Jesus said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth, a tithe of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter, loving God and justice, without leaving the former undone, tithing." See, this would have been the moment in Jesus' teaching to say, hey, my people, we are only going to focus on loving God and doing acts of justice. Tithing is no longer a command we need to follow, but Jesus doubled down on it. In fact, Jesus, as he often does, he actually raises the bar and says, my disciples who will live lives empowered by the Holy Spirit, they will love God, they will do acts of justice, and they will tithe, trusting God with all of their resources. You see, this is important to us, like I just mentioned, for us as a family. The Holmstrom family, we practice tithing. It's a really important part of our lives. In fact, every single you know, other Friday, every second Friday, when I get a paycheck, we immediately tithe. And I wish I could tell you that I, you know, had this, that I had arrived to this kind of holy place as a follower of Jesus where every time I tithe, I didn't stress or I didn't worry about it. But I need to be honest with you, my church family. Every single time I see that tithe go out, we give online at purposechurch.com/give through the Secure Give app. Every single time that tithe goes out, I got to be honest with you, for a moment, for a brief few seconds, I think to myself, oh, Lord, we need that money, it feels like. I got four kids. All of them are going to need braces. I'm telling you, all of them are going to need braces. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, we need braces. And what about when the car breaks down? And you know, I begin to stress about those things. But then I remember, it's God's money. My life belongs to God. And for as long as I've been tithing, For as long as I had resources coming in and I was tithing, God has been faithful. In fact, it's a priority for us in how we're raising our kids, that each of our four kids have three envelopes at home, that whenever they get birthday money or they earn some kind of money, they've got three envelopes. They have a tithe envelope, a saving envelope, and a spending envelope. And they put 10% of whatever they get into their tithe envelope, 10% into their save, and the 80% they get to buy whatever it is within reason that they want. You see, friends, here's part of why I tithe. I mean, yes, it's a biblical command, and I want to live a life at peace with God. But part of why I tithe is because deep down inside, more than I want something for myself, I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. You see, when you choose to tithe, you're saying, man, I want to be a part of what God is doing through his local church in the world. And here's what I know to be true, that when you choose to be sacrificial with your giving, when you choose to trust God with your resources, when you begin tithing, you're going to feel three feelings. In fact, a little while ago, I had an opportunity to have a little bit of extra income. And I remember praying about it, and I just sensed God telling me no, that he didn't want this for me. And I got to be honest with you, I was frustrated. I was kind of, you know, arguing back with God. There was nothing immoral about this at all. And so God and I were kind of in this disagreement. And I didn't even tell Sarah, because my wife, Sarah, she just lives by faith in everything. And she would have just said, oh, yeah, Eric, don't worry about it. And you know, I wouldn't even have been able to try to convince God to let me have this. So I didn't tell Sarah at all. And for 2 weeks, I was just going, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure? And then finally, I just sensed he was clearly saying, no, I don't want this for you. And so I called Sarah and I explained it to her. And she said, great, that sounds awesome. And after that decision had been made, I got to tell you, I felt the three feelings that I think you'll feel if you really think about your money and apply your money the way God wants you to, because it's ultimately his money. The three feelings are this: fear. I felt a lot of fear, a lot of questions. Well, what about this and what about that? But then the second feeling came, and the second feeling is peace. Peace that I'm living a life obedient to God, that I'm trusting him in every area of my life, including our resources and our money. And then number three, the third feeling, joy. You know, when you start tithing and giving generously to God through Purpose Church, when we start talking on Sundays or you start hearing stories of lives that are being changed through the ministries of Purpose Church, when you start seeing pictures and hearing about all that God is up to here, you're going to be filled with a new level of joy because you are a part of it. Because God is using you to literally transform the world. And then it's likely you'll go back to some moments of fear. But remind yourself, after the fear comes peace. And that peace is so much deeper and more long-lasting. And then comes the joy. But I want to answer one more question. What's the why behind the tithe? Well, the why behind the tithe is that everything is a gift from God. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. And next, God blesses his people financially with the expectation that we will be generous and that we will give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, there's at least four benefits to practicing the spiritual discipline of tithing. Number one, tithing helps you become a disciple who trusts and obeys Jesus. And let me just press on this for a moment. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you consider yourself a disciple, tithing is a part of your discipleship. Tithing is a part of Jesus, how he wants to form you and spiritually shape you into his image. He wants to sanctify you and make you more like himself through tithing. It is a part of the discipleship process, and it's good for us. Number two, tithing protects you from making money into an idol. And that's the danger of money, is that it can become something that we worship, something that we obsess over, something that brings us so much anxiety. But remember, God wants you to have freedom. He wants you to have enjoyment, and he wants you to practice generosity. Number three, tithing strengthens your relationship with God as your provider. And number four, tithing ensures that you are partnering with God through your local church. Now, Paul's going to end his section in 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the section we're studying, by talking about the eternal reward for the generous life. Look at what Paul says in verse 19. In this way, by practicing generosity, by thinking about and applying the money God has entrusted to us his way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Do you hear God's word? He's saying, I want you to have life. I want you to have the life that you were designed for, which means you're going to have to wrestle with the reality of the present world and the temptations of the present world in light of the coming age. You see, wealth in this present world is defined by how much you hold on to. But wealth in the coming age, in the kingdom of God perspective, is actually about how much you give away. So I want to ask you, friend, which age will last longer? Well, let's talk about Purpose Church for a moment. In 2025, as we head into 2025 at Purpose Church, we are keeping the eternal front and center. In fact, we are sensing God calling us to become even more intentional in our engagement. I'll share more about this in a little bit, but God is expanding and growing our church. Both our in-person and our online services are expanding and growing. And I am feeling this holy burden and this responsibility from God that it is our job to get even more intentional with our engagement with people. That if you're new, or maybe you've just attended online, or maybe you come in person every once in a while and you sit and enjoy a service and then you leave, God is calling you to experience so much more. And so as a church, we want to double down on intentionally engaging and helping people take their next steps in following Jesus. All of us have a next step to take in following Jesus. We're doubling down on persistent prayer. We believe the big things that God is calling us to do, both locally and globally, both in person and online, are going to take his resources, and we are doubling down in persistent prayer, asking God to provide. In fact, my two words that I've been praying that I would invite you to pray with me is revival and resources. I'm praying, God, would you send a revival in the hearts of people who are near you and people who are far from you? And would you provide resources to accomplish the ministry that you have called us to do? But we are persistent in our prayers that God would change and transform lives. And we believe the ways he's calling us to focus on that. In fact, the ways that I have challenged every single one of our departments here at Purpose Church, every single one of our ministries, is to think about how is God calling them to focus and prioritize evangelism, reaching people who don't know Jesus, and equipping believers to represent Christ, to be his ambassadors in the world. Which is why I want to end with giving all of us a call to radical generosity this November and December. That I believe God is calling all of us to express radical generosity this November and December over these next 2 months. And I believe that he has given us three opportunities. The first is this: global. Through Operation Christmas Child, we invite you to pack boxes and bless kids in Latin America and around the world with gifts, school supplies, and the greatest gift of all, an opportunity to hear the truth that Jesus Christ loves them and wants a relationship with them. And so the first radical call to generosity is, I believe God is calling us to pack 500 boxes for kids around the world. The second demonstration that I believe God is calling us to express radical generosity is number two, local. Through our growing partnership with the Department of Child and Family Services and the children in our Purpose microsites here in Pomona, we invite you to bring Christmas gifts to bless 200 children and youth this year. That's 100 foster care teens here in Pomona and 100 youth from our Purpose microsite locations in the most vulnerable parts of Pomona. And so the second expression of radical generosity is, I believe God is calling us to bring 200 gifts for the most vulnerable children in our community. And number three, church. Through the ministries of Purpose Church, locally and globally, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are being reached with the gospel, and their needs are being met here in our community and around the world. Our ministries strategically reach and disciple every age and stage, and doing so takes big faith and God's resources through God's people. We are asking everyone who calls Purpose Church home, even if you're watching or listening from home, even if you live miles or hundreds of miles or thousands of miles away from Purpose Church, if you consider this your home community, we are inviting you to give generously to God through Purpose Church so that we can fully fund our overall ministry vision budget for 2024, and so we can start 2025 financially strong and spiritually unified. Friends, in 2024, God disproportionately blessed us. We not only saw unbelievable growth and became one of the 100 fastest growing churches in the country, but you all also helped our entire church transition between lead pastors with such grace and faith. Here's just a sampling of how God has disproportionately blessed us this year. Let's talk about our Purpose Kids ministry for a moment. Did you know that just in the month of October, in fact, just in the first 3 weeks of October, God brought 17 new families to Purpose Kids and to Purpose Church? Or how about our student ministries? Did you know that this summer, 23 students got baptized at summer camp alone? Or how about our men's ministry? Recently, there were over 300 Purpose Church men at one of our outreach events, and it was incredible. Or how about groups ministry? Our groups ministry tells us that over 70% of our congregation is being discipled through a life group. Or how about Celebrate Recovery? Our community that helps people find freedom from their hurts, habits, and hangups. Did you know that our Celebrate Recovery Tuesday night gatherings have doubled in size just this year? Or Purpose in Espanol. Purpose in Espanol, that Sunday service has more than doubled this past year, and they recently launched their very own student ministries. Or how about our global missions? I mean, we could talk for days about the impact that your generosity is having around the world, but I just want to talk about one act of generosity, your generosity in East Asia, where there are currently 600 people in a 10-month Bible literacy course, and over 262 of them have recently become followers of Christ. Now, how about church-wide? Did you know that as a church, just this year so far, we have grown by over 25%? These are incredible moves of God. Yet at the same time, while we have seen our attendance grow and more people experiencing life transformation through our ministries locally and around the world, our giving has not increased in a way that can support the amazing growth we are seeing. So here's where I want to have a Purpose family chat. And again, whether you come to Purpose Church in person or whether you're watching online and you'll never visit our Purpose Church in-person location, this is for you. If you're a part of the Purpose family, this is for you. For all of us who consider Purpose Church our home, this family chat is for us. We are asking you, I am asking you, to join God in the great work he's doing at Purpose and help us finish 2024 financially strong so we can move into 2025 with momentum as we sense God calling us to seize the evangelism and discipleship opportunities he is giving us both locally and globally. If you currently aren't tithing, I'm asking you to pray about beginning to regularly give to God through Purpose Church. If you are already giving, thank you so much. I so appreciate your faithfulness. I'm asking you to pray about how God might be calling you to increase your giving or give a larger year-end gift. In fact, our prayer and goal for November and December is to see God provide $1 million, which would be a 12% increase over last year. And it's actually a number that we've hit before as a church. But think about it this way. Maybe you're going, okay, well, that feels like such a large number. What impact could I have? Think about it this way. There's about 2,000 people that regularly attend Purpose Church in person every single Sunday. If each of us gave $500, which is about $55 a week leading up to the end of December, we would hit our goal. But for some of you, that's too much. $500 is too much. And we don't want you to feel pressured to give beyond your means. But I also know that God is leading many of you to give much, much more through your regular gifts or through your large year-end giving. And I want to encourage all of us to pray and to let God lead us to discover what radical generosity looks like for each of us in this season. And friends, I am so confident that God will be faithful. In fact, here is just one example of how we saw God's faithfulness in the last month at Purpose. At our staff rally recently, Pastor Greg shared that with the $125,000 unbudgeted costs for our lead pastor transition and retirement process and celebrations, on top of all of the other economic factors we faced with inflation and the rising costs of just doing ministry in Southern California, that we were going to need to make some serious budget and payroll cuts during the fourth quarter of the year. Well, our whole staff was called to pray for God's direction in the cuts and for God's provision through increased giving. That night, Pastor Greg went to bed burdened by what we were facing. He actually woke up at 3 a.m. and couldn't fall back asleep, and so he spent time praying. And as he was praying, he felt led to boldly ask God for an extraordinarily large gift of $100,000. And get this, just 6 hours later, Pastor Greg received a phone call from one of our Purpose Church families who shared with him that God had blessed them with additional income, and they had been praying for months about where God wanted them to give, and they had received clear guidance that God wanted them to give, on top of their regular tithes and offerings, a gift to Purpose Church. And here's the craziest part. The amount that they felt led to give was $100,000. Exactly what Pastor Greg had prayed for. God is so good, and it didn't end there. Just 1 week after that, Pastor Greg received word from another family that God was leading them to give a gift of $25,000. Giving to your local church is first and foremost about giving to God. And in so doing, you are partnering with God to carry out the vision that he has given every single local church to see everyone everywhere following Jesus. Guys, God is doing a great work in and through Purpose Church. And I am absolutely confident that our best days are ahead of us. These days are opportunity filled. And my wife, Sarah, and I, we love you so much, and we are all in. Your staff is all in. Your trustees are all in. And I want to invite you to be all in. Let's be radically generous together and watch God reach the world through this church. And so, friends, here's our spiritual practice for the week, and really until the end of December. Pray and ask God how He is calling you to be radically generous. One, globally through Operation Christmas Child. Two, locally through Christmas gifts for foster care and vulnerable children in Pomona. And three, with your tithing and generosity towards our overall ministry vision budget at Purpose Church to reach $1 million over these next 2 months. Then trust Him. Be radically generous and watch how He transforms you and blesses you through it.